From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
Our compatriot Ben is on a very secret mission out in the Pacific somewhere. He won't tell you about it. Neither will we, because we'll never learn about it.
On a dinghy, maybe? You think he's on a dinghy?
A dinghy may be involved. Somehow I feel he's on a vessel of higher technology. But hey, guess what? We're also joined by our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson, and you are you. You are here, and that makes this stuff they don't want you to know.
Slow clap. Slow clap for Matt.
God, that was horrible. Ben, that was, I'm sorry.
Are you talking about? Oh, my God, that was epically good, Matt.
That's so hard, and Ben does it like it's nothing.
Well, it's sort of an incantation the way he does it, you know what I mean?
Like, y'all maybe didn't hear that because Alexis is amazing and can really chop up voices really well. I did that in like 7 takes, 12 takes. That was insane. Okay.
Keep behind the curtain.
Y'all, we're here. Like we said, you're you, and this is a listener mail episode. That means we get to hear from the best part of this show, which is you. I'm very excited about the things we're going to talk about today. Some things that seem very, very strange in the beginning, but may have a pretty common explanation, but then lead to something a little more sinister. I don't know who they would be besides bacteria. We'll get to it. Also, look at my shirt. If you're watching the video, I've got a shirt of Mothman on, and I think that character cryptid is going to come into this show in some way or another.
My absolute favorite He-Man villain, Mothman.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I will say when Ben and I years ago went on a road rally trip for making videos for the How Stuff Works channel back in the day, we went to Point Pleasant, which is the kind of hub for sightings of the Mothman. That's where that t-shirt came from. We got it for you there. And they have this bizarre sculpture of the Mothman, and he's got like a 9-pack of abs, sort of like a He-Man action figure. Very ripped. It actually kind of reminds me, there is a He-Man character named maybe B-Man or something like that, who's got like big old like eyes, like lensed kind of eyes, and that's what the Mothman looks like too in that sculpture.
You heard it here, Mothman, the sexiest of the cryptids, at least in the ab department. I don't know what I'm saying.
Oh, he's got good gams too, man. Wearing like he's rocking kind of a He-Man type fuzzy loincloth. I mean, it's the whole thing. I could go first since we're already talking about sexy Mothman, if that pleases
that
you.
That would be awesome. Yes.
You got it, man. This one comes from Ziggy, which is this individual's work nickname. They also led the email by saying that Don't Pont might be another good nickname. Not DuPont. Get it? Don't Pont, as in bad on you, DuPont, for, you know, all your chemicals and whatnot.
I get it.
I get it, too. So let's see. Ziggy brought to us some news of some recent sightings of the sexiest cryptid to ever crypt. And it goes something like this. Just so I could use the code name Don't Pont. I wish I were a DuPont is the subject of the email. Just so I could use the code name Don't Pont. There's the whole story. And here goes the email. Also, something I'm not sure you've talked about, but here in Chicago, there's a Mothman who flies around O'Hare Airport. I didn't really think much about the story until I took a flight recently. I always park out at Economy Lot G and take an airport transit bus into the terminals. Maybe because it was pre-dawn, that made me think of the Mothman, so I decided to ask the driver, a somewhat elderly woman, about it. And she said, baby girl, I've seen lights that stay in one spot and a man with wings fly over the parking lot. Those smartphones, smart houses, smart cars, it's all too much for me, but that winged man has been around since I started in 1989.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love that. I love the wisdom there from this elderly cab driver. She goes on to say, I took it as her way of saying she had seen the Mothman. Anyway, I included a link and just wondering what you think. You guys can use my nickname from work, Ziggy. If you want to shout out the show I'm finishing up, that'd be cool. Power Book 4, Force on Stars. I'm assuming this is a television program of some sort, and that Ziggy is perhaps a grip or works in some aspect of the film industry.
That's awesome. Somebody else I know works in the film industry. Can't think of who it is. Doc.
Is it codename Doc?
No, I don't know. Somebody. Okay, somebody fine. We know.
So the article initially is from, let's see, this is like a local news. Oh, it's a local radio station in Lansing, Michigan, 97.5 Now FM. And it's Lake Michigan Mothman. How many sightings reported since 2020? As it turns out, kind of a lot. Much more than I think either of us realize. And the reportings date all the way back to 1957. So, you know, there is remember the film, The Mothman Prophecies? I think Richard Gere might've had something to do with that, but it was this. And I believe, Matt, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't there an X-Files involving the Mothman?
There is a lot of those stories have to do with a very specific bridge collapse event.
That's right.
And
that's
how,
exactly right.
Yeah. The Mothman prophesized in some way, or Ingrid Cold was involved in some way. Yeah, spoilers, I guess. Sorry. No. Definitely check out the movie if you get a chance.
For sure. I mean, so, okay, let's see. So we've got on February 21st, so we know that they go back a long, long way. So the question is, like, are there many Mothmen? Is it a single Mothman that's somehow, like, immortal, or at least has a very, very, very long lifespan? I mean, I guess that's not. He'd be quite old at this point, but maybe he's a geriatric Mothman at this point. But there have been quite a few sightings in the Chicagoland area. I love that, by the way, just the idea of Chicagoland. It's always kind of tickled me. But yeah, February 26th of 2020, there was a sighting near O'Hare. A lot of these sightings apparently take place around O'Hare Airport in Chicago. This one involves a woman in West Englewood, Chicago, seeing a, quote, big black bird man from the backyard of her apartment building. And her son supposedly photographed the sighting. Mm. I don't know that we have those images, though. But that is one of the reports. And by the way, a lot of this chronology, I highly recommend checking this out. There is a timeline of the Lake Michigan Mothman sightings dating back to 1957 from a website called singularfortean.com, which appears to be sort of a paranormal and kind of weird science, weird news type site. Very, very cool article. Highly recommend you checking that out. But I'm going to go with the radio station version that I mentioned, which kind of compiles it. And we're talking more about the recent sightings. Next, we have February 26th of 2020. This is another airport sighting. And this was right around the time that airports were really starting to shut down because of the COVID-19 pandemic, which, according to this site here, says gave the Mothman free rein to fly around the O'Hare International Airport. That's what 14 says. Quote, Chicago paranormal investigator Manuel Navarrete reports a strange flying creature with, quote, membranous wings in the area. All this checks out in terms of like what this cryptid is supposed to have looked like.
Yeah, it definitely matches up the conceptual art that you
Correct.
See all around as well.
Correct.
Just, you know, people either jotting down what they think they've seen or people who are just inspired by the Mothman legend or cryptid story, that the wings sound exactly like that.
It's really interesting, though, because I think the thing that struck me about this story is the sightings, you know, for many, many, many years were all based in and around Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Exactly. And it's about a 7-hour drive, just depending on which roads you take and how fast you're driving.
Well, how far of a flight is it as the Mothman flies?
Ooh, I'm not sure what Mach speed the Mothman gets up to, but I imagine that takes a while. They're probably not going 70, right?
I would think not. Matt, I got to drop into the chat for you and Doc this incredible image of the sculpture that is in downtown Point Pleasant, right across from the Mothman Museum, which is where that amazing shirt that you're wearing came from. And off mic, Doc Holliday just alerted us to the fact that the Mothman is featured in the video game Fallout 76, which is one that I never got into. It's sort of more of like an open world version of the Fallout universe. And I kind of got a little bored and I never made it to this part, but it does take place in West Virginia.
Look, I don't want to correct you here, Noel. Fallout is in itself as a series an open world, okay? It's more of an MMO
That's
style.
What I meant. That's and what it, I meant, Matt.
And I had the same experience with, like, I got the Morrowind extension of Elder Scrolls Online. It was the same thing for me. It's like, I love this game when it's an open world and I go explore, but when it's like this, not too like much. This.
Not like this. But here's the thing. Now, it almost feels, and I think this might be the case, that we're talking about two completely separate Mothmen here, because this timeline that the Singular Fortean website lays out, dating back to 1957, is all in and around Illinois. Point Pleasant isn't even mentioned on here once. So I think the Mothman of Point Pleasant, that is the most known, most well-known of the Mothmen, is its own thing. And then this is a separate one. They're calling this one the Lake Michigan Mothman.
I don't buy it. I think it's the same group, same creatures. They fly from the lake for some reason to where they, you know, stay for the most part in West Virginia. I'm joking, of course. And there's no way to prove or disprove that right now. Right? Because we don't have enough evidence that this thing or these creatures, this creature even exists. But my goodness, it is fun to imagine, right?
Yeah, no, it totally is.
Like, could it be the same species? And there just happens to be, you know, a couple of different areas where they are thriving right now or somehow survived, you know, whatever, however long it took for them to mutate and evolve into whatever this new species is that we've just never seen. Or are people just misidentifying large birds? Because there are a lot of large birds that fly around in those parts. I know eagles are a thing. Hawks are a thing. Those generally aren't that large. But some owls, there are several owl species that I know we've specifically pointed to on this show before as being misidentified as the Mothman. And, you know, we've also mentioned it before on the show how at night, when something huge with wings like that is flying around above you, just how uneasy a feeling that gives you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the Point Pleasant Mothman dates back to a headline in the Point Pleasant Register around the time of World War II that says, couples see man-sized bird, creature, something. And that was, you know, a lot of times we know with UFO sightings in certain areas, there's a certain confirmation bias that comes with reporting around something, right? When all of a sudden something becomes a thing, everyone starts looking for that thing. And potentially seeing that thing in other things that maybe do not actually exist or don't align.
Yeah.
So I do think it's interesting that they are 7 hours apart and they're clearly completely separate. I don't think I was aware of the Lake Michigan Mothman at all. But the Point Pleasant Mothman reports go basically as far back. So to me, I mean, a 7 hour drive is only probably like a 3 hour flight, 2 hour flight, something like that.
Again, depends on how fast you're going, man.
And I just mean, like, maybe there's something there. Maybe there's nesting, or maybe it's like a family, or I don't know. I'm not being a jerk. I really am kind of trying to conjecture about what, because, you know, it's so many reports that describe something so similar that who knows? Maybe there is something to it. I'm with you that it could very well be some of the wildlife that is around there that could be seen as having leathery wings or being in a certain light or a certain lack of light. Your mind does kind of tend to go wild. But if you're into this, you could definitely head over to Point Pleasant, where they have made much more of a tourist destination out of this whole thing. They've got the statue, they've got the museum, and this year, the festival returned, the Mothman Festival. I believe this is an article back from April, and it said that it was set to return to Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And here it is. The festival is supposedly on this year, and it's not until September 18th and 19th of 2021. So keep an eye on that. Hopefully the Delta variant doesn't go screwing things up, because that sounds like a lot of fun. And apparently the original festival back in 2002 is what led to the statue and what led to the Mothman Museum. A really charming little area down there. I highly, highly recommend checking it out, even if you just pass through. It looks like they have an old movie theater called the State Theater, where they show Mothman-related, you know, documentaries and kind of like schlocky horror-type films. And It just looks like a good time for adults and kids alike. So check it out. And just wanted to point out, we're not going to read them all, but this chronology of the Lake Michigan Mothman, there's like 20 plus sightings in 2020 alone, which is, I think, was the whole impetus for this story. So if you want to read more details about them, check out that website, 97.5 Now FM, Lansing's number one hit music station, or you can visit singular410.com, FORTEAN.com, and look for the timeline of the Chicago flying humanoid sightings so far in 2021.
Do you think those sightings in 2020 had anything to do with the quarantine and people being at home more and maybe hanging out in their backyards looking up?
Yes, I do, Matt. Yes, I do. We are going to pop to a quick sponsor break, and then we'll be back with some more listener mail.
Yes, we are back. And speaking of menacing things flying around, there is a stinking one of these tiger mosquitoes or whatever they're called, the ones that are striped and hurt really badly. It's in my office right now, and it is flying around me as I'm attempting to record.
Do you have a swatter, Matthew? Do you have a swatter?
I do not have a swatter. I've got these two hands.
Yeah, those are deadlier than any swatter I've ever seen. But you gotta act with precision.
Oh man, I just hate that feeling. Oh, and there's one other thing that's been flying around the skies. I didn't even think about this when we were talking about it, Noel. Did you see the reports that the Rocket Man, the jetpack guy, is back in Los Angeles?
The Rocketeer?
Right at the end of July, there were several reports from pilots saying, hey, there's like somebody, I think it's a jetpack guy flying around again. Because there were reports in 2019.
I do remember that guy, yep.
And it's happening again, you guys. The jetpack guy. How long until there are jetpacks everywhere? How long until I can get a jetpack?
Well, we were promised jetpacks, Matt.
We were. And you know what? I think that dream may be coming true very soon. I can't wait for it. Okay, so let's jump to a whole different story here from someone who called in, somebody named Luke.
Hey, what's up? My name is Luke. I have a bit of a mini story that I wanted to share with y'all. It's about tap water, basically. I was boiling some water for pasta not too long ago. And I overdid the water, kind of over-singed it, and it left me like with this weird white, like a powdered milk type of texture in the pot that I was using. And I couldn't really comprehend what the hell it was at the time. You know, I didn't want to overthink it, but was like, should I use this water? Or anyway, I ended up using the water. I was like, I'm hungry, so I'm going to just do this. So not only that, but I have a humidifier, and basically it left the same sort of residue on all my band equipment, on my consoles, on my TV, everything. Weird. It's like a weird, I don't know, same sort of thing. It's like a ashy, ashtray, white soot, whatever. And it's not even dust. You can wipe it off with your finger, but it won't rub off like dust. It's so weird to explain. But anyway, I wanted to see what you guys would say. What's up with the water treatment, man? What's up with what's going on? A little too much chemicals going on? A little too sus for me to handle? So, I don't know. I'm going to let you guys do your research. Let me know what you think about it. Anyway, peace.
Oh, man, Luke, thank you so much for giving us a call. Oh, man, what do you think initially? Or what's your reaction to that, Noel?
I mean, I one time was boiling some eggs, you know, like making some hard-boiled eggs. Mm-hmm. And like a dummy, I just forgot about them entirely. And the entire water from the pot evaporated off, leaving just these like weird singed eggs, which obviously I threw away. But in the bottom of the pot, there was kind of like a white chalky residue a little bit. And part of me wonders if that is a product of a non-stick type situation that's getting overheated by direct heat, perhaps, and creating some sort of byproduct. I don't know. I didn't really think about it until Luke's message came through, and it kind of gave me a little aha moment, because I just assumed that it was some some product of like the nonstick or the eggs being singed and creating some sort of like ashy substance, but it definitely was something along those lines. Never really thought about the humidifier aspect of it though. What about you? I mean, I could see how maybe if there was some sort of, you know, fluoridation in the water, obviously we know that's a thing, or other chemicals in the water that maybe boiling it at a certain temperature could separate some of that out, perhaps. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but just talking out loud, thinking out loud.
No, I love those thoughts because it's many of the same ones that I had when I initially heard this message from Luke. There are a lot of chemicals in the water, you know, especially if you're just thinking about modern practices of cleaning water in some kind of treatment plant that is probably, you know, something that your local area does, your municipality, your county, wherever you live. It doesn't matter where you live, whether in the United States or somewhere else. There's probably a water treatment facility not that far from where you live. And a lot of the processes that they do to clean the water is, you know, includes adding chemicals, not only to make the water cleaner, to get rid of some of the microorganisms that do just live in water, especially because we're recycling the poop water, you guys. Remember that. That's what we're doing. That's what we're drinking. But it's not that bad because we've figured out how to do it pretty dang well and pretty safely. The creepiest stuff comes in when you think about the intentional fluoridation of water. And if you've gone down any conspiracy rabbit holes, you may have gone down that one where you do know that it's a fact that fluoride in one form or another is in much of the water. In some countries, it's banned completely as an additive. In other countries, like the United States, depending on the state, it's just regular old thing. So you may think, well, this is just like extra super fluoride that's going on in my water. I'm going to throw water on this theory. Wow, I'm sorry. In a lot of ways, the biggest one is that this is a very common thing. What you're experiencing, Luke, is very common, and it's not something you necessarily need to worry about, at least from a health perspective. So let's jump to the water that was boiling that ended up having a chalky white residue. There is a thing that occurs when the contents of water, once boiled and just once it's hit by heat for a sustained amount of time, if it begins to evaporate, if that water has a large or a high mineral content, then some of that H2O boils off and you'll just be left with those minerals, especially if it boils all the way down, right? Kind of like your situation, Noel, what you dealt with. But in your case, you had eggs as an extra variable, so you're not really sure what it could be. In Luke's case, it's very likely that it's what would be considered hard water.
I was wondering about that.
Mm-hmm. Water that just has more a couple of substances in it that is higher in proportion to water that would be considered soft.
I am going to guess maybe calcium.
Oh man, you're good at this, Noel. Yes, calcium is definitely one of the primary things that you're going to be dealing with when you've got hard water. You can go to a website called compoundchem.com, C-H-E-M. It may not be the best source, but they've got a great little infographic where you can learn specifically about this. You're looking at calcium, magnesium, sulfate, and bicarbonate. These are the primary substances that you're going to be dealing with, minerals that end up building up. And you may have heard this term before, which is kind of new to me. I've never really heard it used in this way, but lime scale.
Yeah. I've seen reports of it shortened to just scale, even, and it being referred to as a pretty common thing. It can collect in like electric kettles, for example. You can get like residue buildup of this stuff that you'd maybe want to clean over time, but all signs point to it not being particularly harmful in any way. Or let's just say you reuse a tea kettle. You know, that could build, you're boiling water over and over and over and over again and then emptying it out. It could build up in that too. But an electric kettle in particular, because of the method of the heating element that's used.
That is correct. That is correct, sir. Sorry, is that Billy Madison? I'm not sure what that is.
Not sure what that is. I think it might be a little more like the church lady from SNL, Dana Carvey.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is. Oh, well. I'm going to leave that alone. You know what it is. You've heard it before. I'm sorry. It just came out of my brain. So, yes, those are some of the primary ways in which you're going to encounter this in your life. The thing that you should know for it is that you can use certain methods to, quote, soften your water. A lot of the times it has to do with a filtration system of one sort or another that you can apply really anywhere at your water source, whether it's directly as it's coming into your house, whether it's at the tap when you're, you know, opening up to put water through and it's going through that filter, or even a lot of refrigerators and other appliances that use water have some kind of filtration system. A lot of times that'll take care of the situation to get rid of some of the hardness of your water. Let's soften that water up, you guys. But, you know, there are other schools of thought that these minerals are actually good to be in your water, and you should be consuming a certain amount of these. There are other studies that show if you overconsume these minerals, it could be potentially bad for you. I'm not a scientist. I'm not going to tell you exactly what is right and wrong here, but the general consensus is that it is not harmful in any real meaningful way if you're just consuming that water.
I will say there are some pretty tried and true ways of getting rid of the stuff, you know, long-term solutions for, you know, cleaning it once it's kind of built up a bit, as in the electric kettle example that I gave in popvila.com. Remember Bob Vila from this old house? Such a handy guy. He says fill the kettle halfway up with a solution of equal parts cold water and white vinegar, which is a natural descaling agent. You can also use citric acid. And then you want to add the juice of one fresh lemon or a lime. Top it off with enough cold water to reach the halfway point of the kettle and let it boil. Once the water is boiling, you turn it off. And then you kind of let it sit for about 30 minutes to an hour, and then give it a rinse, and you should be good to go. You might have to do it a couple times if you have a significant buildup of the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. For sure. And you could do that to your faucets, to anywhere where you find this limescale stuff. Hey, this is the kind of thing that, like, I bet our parents knew, like, really well how to take care of it and what to do about it. And you could get the... I remember specific products called, like, Lime Away or Lime something. Mm-hmm. It's just until you have to pretend to be an adult and like live alone in your own place, you just kind of forget it all. That's at least my situation. Maybe you have a different situation.
No, I mean, I didn't learn how to wash dishes until I was, you know, in college. I will say this is something that you'll definitely see around shower heads that have not been cleaned for a while. Mm-hmm. And it can actually look a little bit greenish too. Over time, it can get kind of like a green. Almost the way corrosion on a car battery looks, it kind of looks like that, or around faucets or even any plumbing fixtures. So, yeah, it's definitely a thing. Not particularly, you know, bad for you, but it could be something that maybe as it builds up might not be the best. Just because it could probably just attract bacteria, you know, and it's basically just like something that you want to just clean.
Yes, you want to clean it because it isn't great for your tile, your appliances, all your stuff in your apartment, your house, wherever you live. But I want to jump, Noel, if we can, to the humidifier situation.
Yes.
That feels very different. And what I want to do is take one more quick break to hear a word from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and talk about humidifiers. And there really is some stuff that maybe they don't want you to know. We'll be right back. And we've returned. Hope that ad was not for a humidifier company. If it was, well, this is going to be hilarious. The part of Luke's message where he says he's got a humidifier in his room or somewhere in his house. He's got a lot of equipment and stuff in that room. And when he lets his humidifier run, after a while, there's this same white residue on all his stuff, even his drums. And that is a crime. Okay.
Agreed.
And I can only imagine what it's doing to his PlayStation or Xbox or 3DO, whatever he's got, whatever console he's using. It's weird to think that water inside a vessel like, the pot that we were using to boil the water for the pasta, the water boils all the way down, goes up in steam, and then that residue, because it's heavier, they're minerals, they collect at the bottom. I can imagine that. I can visualize that. I understand, at least through physics, why it would do that. What I didn't understand is that the process of the humidifier, it does kind of the same thing. When it superheats that water, turns it into mist, vapor, and then sends it out pretty rapidly. It really does go in the air. It carries a lot of the stuff that's attached to those water molecules, and they float everywhere in your room. And it really will collect like dust, but it's not dust. They're minerals, and they can become hardened pretty quickly. And that's why, I don't know if you guys remember Luke saying, it's like, it's weird. It's like chalk, but it's not like chalk. It's hard to describe. That's why. At least, I don't know exactly if that's what you're dealing with, Luke, but I am pretty sure. I'm not positive, but it's likely. But that's not what I want to talk about with humidifiers, because that stinks. But that's not a problem necessarily when it comes to your health or something bad that could happen to you. What is a problem is if the water you're using in your humidifier sits there for too long, or if there's a certain amount of buildup of bacteria and other things, like other microorganisms that get into that water, and then you're vaporizing it and shooting it into the air, and you're just breathing that stuff.
Yeah.
That can become a serious, serious problem. And there's a whole thing, like a separate type of illness that is described as humidifier, like a humidifier illness, because of specific types of bacteria that get into the lungs when you're using one of these things. And there's an article over on time.com called "The Creepy Truth About Humidifiers." It was posted way back in March of 2017, but it's still there and still will tell you a lot of things that you need to know about your humidifier. It describes all kinds of stuff. And this one piece of information in particular felt like it spoke to this story from Luke. I'm going to read a bit of it. Again, it's time.com. The authors of one case study from the University of Utah discovered that an infant had developed a serious lung injury after breathing in humidifier white dust, or the powdery buildup of calcium, magnesium, and other metal deposits that can form on the inside of the machine's reservoir. Now, whether or not, I don't know this, I don't know the full case study yet, we're not doing our regular deep research on this quite yet, but if that is true in this case study, then the dust from your humidifier may actually be a problem, if it is exactly what they're describing here, which is the lime scale. A lot of what I had been reading prior to finding this article was that it could be dangerous if you are perhaps younger, or you have asthma, or you have another breathing issue. Adding those substances, into your lungs as you're breathing in on a constant basis could be a major problem. But if you're, a healthy adult or even a healthy younger person, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. But again, I'm not a doctor. I can't give you medical advice. I can't tell you the truth about what it is when it comes to those case studies, because I don't know. It's just what I'm reading. But it definitely freaked me out thinking about specifically my son's room and the humidifier we use and how I need to clean it again. So I'm going to do that right after we finish this recording.
Yeah. No, that stuff can really get, if you've ever even left water in the sink, for example, or dirty dishes or something like that, or just in anywhere, water, the idea of standing water or stagnant water is a thing. It's not, people think of water as like this magical purifier, but it collects everything that's out in the air, and over time it gets real bad. So definitely want to change that stuff out and clean any of the parts or the pieces of the humidifier that could, be out of sight. Cause there's parts of it where it is a reservoir, right? Where it can collect down in there. And if you aren't cleaning that out on the regular, then it can really, really build up. It's the same with let's say a Keurig, for example. There's a reservoir in a Keurig where if you don't, you might change the water in the actual tank, but there's a whole part of it that's not seen that's inside. And if you don't cycle it through and you haven't used your Keurig for a week, you're drinking week old Keurig water.
And Noel, the EPA suggests that you clean your humidifier, like really clean it, every 3 days of use. So I don't do that. Does anybody out there clean their humidifier every 3 days? Is that like flossing every day, or some other thing that I'm supposed to do that I just end up not doing?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah, I don't know about any of that stuff, man. I'm not the best shining example of daily rituals of that kind.
Well, it's really freaky. It's really freaky to me because I grew up with a humidifier as a kid. I have memories of it as a child, and I did have upper respiratory problems. And I think the humidifier was like a way to help fix some of those problems. But knowing some of what I've been reading, it may have been the cause of others. So you're like fixing one, causing three more, kind of like any prescription drug out there. Cough, cough. Wheeze, wheeze. And the other thing, there's an investigation, according to this Time article, from an outbreak in 2011 in Korea, that there were actually these specific humidifier disinfectants that were being used to clean the water before it gets vaporized. And those chemicals that were being used were actually the culprit for a secondary infection outbreak.
Yikes.
Jinx.
Oh no, we owe each other cokes, and now neither one of us can talk. We've got to break the rules of Jinx, or else we can't have a show. Anyhow, yeah, man, this is an interesting one. I know we went a little more like kind of call to action, procedural, like life hack stuff with this one today, but I actually think this was a good place to go. This is definitely an actionable thing that you can pay a little more attention to around the house and maybe not be drinking horrible chemicals all the time.
Well, yeah. Well, in a weird way, it's for me, the stuff that I want you to know about all of this is that there are these devices that we put in our homes a lot of times that we think are going to be helping us in some way, right? Whether it's from a health perspective, a time-saving perspective, whatever it is, we put these devices in our homes all the time, and we just use them because it's kind of just generally accepted that they're fine. They're going to be great. There's no problem here.
Let me rephrase and backpedal ever so slightly. Not horrible chemicals. That's not exactly true. But it's just, it's things that probably are best not to be consumed on the regular, right?
Yeah, sure. The lime stuff can be bad, again, at larger concentrations over time.
Correct.
We're not. Medical professionals is not medical advice. Just remember that. Okay, we said that again. Attorneys.
We love you. We love you, attorneys. We love you, all attorneys.
We do, especially Holly. She's the best. Ben did pick out a story that we're not going to go into today that I cannot wait for him to return and tell us all about it.
Mm-hmm, same.
I don't even want to spoil what it is. It has something to do with what happens after you're no longer living.
Definitely about cannibals.
Yeah. But it's dark and it's real and it's weird. It's weirder than I even expected when I read the log line of what Ben wrote. So I can't wait for that.
Yeah. And we will have that one, I'm sure, lickety split when Ben gets back from his dinghy adventures in the South Pacific.
Yes. And I want to do one last thing before we leave here. And it's weird. It's kind of different. I don't want to give you any information further than what our caller gives us. I don't know. It's weird. I kind of want us all to go down a little bit of a rabbit hole before hopefully we turn this into a full episode, because I think it's going to be worth it. We'll find out. But I just want to, I want everybody to listen to it and then maybe send us your thoughts. Does that make sense? Okay, let's play this one last one, Noel.
Hello, members and conspiracy realists that run stuff they don't want you to know. I would like you to cover a subject that you have not covered and that you probably have not heard of, but I guarantee it will be interesting to you and everyone who's listening because it ties in directly with Microsoft and Google and everything that we use today. The company's name I want you to investigate is Control Data, based out of Minnesota in the late 70s and early 80s, and it is where my father worked as a computer programmer and was unfortunately promoted to manager. I will let you discover the rest, but let's just say my father had a huge part in the way that the world works now, which is part of the stuff that they don't want you to know. You can call me anonymous for this one, gentlemen. Love you all. Peace be with you.
First of all, the cadence of that man's voice put me in a trance.
It did. Yeah, I know. And it sounds so sinister, right? I'm into it. I'll just let everybody know. I'll give you this hint. It's Computer Data Corporation, and it has to do with supercomputers from when computing was a very early technology. We're talking punch cards and stuff, but they continued for a long time. And there's some weird stuff that happened. Companies coming and going, being bought and sold, morphing, turning into other things. I can't wait to talk about this. And we'd love to hear what you think. So, you know, go down the rabbit hole. We'll be doing the same thing. And, you know, maybe we'll meet up for an episode sometime.
And hey, if you've had a Mothman sighting, like any of the dozens that we saw for today's story, we only read like three or four of them, but there were quite a few more from this year or last year rather alone, or since last year. Let us know. It seems to be a pretty common occurrence around Chicago O'Hare International Airport. We'd love to hear your stories. You can write to us on the internet.
That's right. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, where we are Conspiracy Stuff. On Instagram, we are Conspiracy Stuff Show. What else can you find? We're on all the apps, all the players, from Apple to iHeart to Stitcher. You can find this. Hopefully you're listening to it in one of those places, but you can also share it with your friends that maybe don't use the same one that you're using. Spotify is in there too. It's in the mix.
And hey, while you're on there listening to podcasts, why don't you just leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts, since that is still kind of the king of the jungle as far as podcasts are concerned. We love reading feedback, especially positive feedback, so you know, be nice. We're very sensitive people. Also, it helps people discover the show and helps the show rank on the old Apple podcast charts.
Correct. We're sensitive people. I don't know how the melody of that goes.
With so much to give. We just give and we give and we just give.
Okay.
And then we give some more.
Hey, and we also have a phone number. You could call us like our two listeners, Anon and Luke, who called in today. Our number is 1-833-STDWYTK. When you call in, you've got 3 minutes after you hear the dulcet tones of Benjamin Bolin. At that point, you know, if you go over 3 minutes, it's just going to cut off. So please stay within that time frame. Say whatever you want, anything at all. If you've got a personal message, leave it for right at the end. That's very helpful for us as we put it on the air. And if you've got more to say than you can fit into that 3 minutes, we highly recommend you send us a good old-fashioned email where we are.
Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.